At the top of the programme, you heard Michael Dempsey have the utter cheek to suggest that he'd be able to give Dorina Allan a run for her money in the kitchen. Well, she's here now, the unchallenged champion of common sense in the kitchen. And her seasonal message? Long before turkey became traditional, goose was our Christmas roast of choice. Has been since medieval times. And there was very good reason for that. The flavour, as Dorina told Suzanne Campbell in Ballymaloe Cookery School.
There's some leeks, lovely fresh leeks in the garden. Then there's also some red cabbage.
It's lunchtime in the dining room at Ballymaloe Cookery School, and Dorina Allan is showing me an array of dishes the students have cooked.
There's lots of Bramley applesauce to go with the pork.
But I'm here to talk about one specific food, the Christmas goose, and to learn how to cook one.
So the first thing you need to do, and it would come plucked, obviously, is after it's hung. So make sure it's hung for at least 5 or 6 days, or I would hang it for, I'm a great one for hanging things, for maybe a week or a week and a half. And so then go through the entrails and take out the heart, the gizzard and the liver. The liver makes the most delicious pate, of course, as well. So they're the giblets and, of course, the neck as well, which has got lots of flavour. And use those for stock. But the liver, don't put the liver into stock because it gives it a kind of off flavour, but make that into a goose liver pate. And then you have your lovely starter as well. But the other thing that we really value here is the, see it there?
Look. My goodness, the fat.
Lovely fat, lots and lots of lovely goose fat, you see. So now, and I'm pulling that out, and I'm going to put that onto a roasting tin. There's masses of
There's it. Literally pounds of it, isn't there?
There is. There certainly is. And this will render down slowly in the oven. You could do 100 or 120 so that it renders out of the fat into the liquid goose fat. And then you keep that to roast potatoes or sauté potatoes or something as well. Obviously, you can buy goose fat. But, I mean, this is pure gold as far as we're concerned. So the other thing I think it's really important to do is to brine it. It's even more important for a turkey, actually. You can actually either dry brine it by rubbing salt, coarse salt, into the skin and leaving it overnight or for a couple of hours at least. But you can do a wet brine. So the goose we're just roasting has been in a wet brine, 10% salt. We left it overnight.
So you'd do that with a turkey as well? So if you're cooking a turkey?
Yeah, we definitely would. Because particularly nowadays, when a lot of turkeys are quite intensively reared, basically it hugely enhances the flavour.
So even just rubbing salt into the
rubbing dry salt into the exterior, massaging it in like that, would really help to intensify the flavour.
Our goose has gone into the oven in the cookery school at 180 degrees for an hour and a half. Geese cook more quickly than turkey, and with more bone, they have fewer servings than an equivalent turkey. This bird came from Mary and Tom Walsh in Kilkenny Free Range, one of only a handful of farms left rearing geese in Ireland.
I used to have some here, actually, and they'd be down at the pond at the end. But then they used to chase the students, so I had to go. The students were terrified of them. And but a lot of people would tell you that geese are better than a guard dog any day. I mean, you see a grown adult running from a goose.
When you were growing up, were they a part of your diet then?
Oh, yes. I remember we had a post office in Cullyhill, where I came from, and people would come in before Christmas with the geese, with the neck, the heads, tails, toenails, the whole lot on still, and they'd be wrapped up, sewn into a cotton white bag, you know. People used to recycle them. And then they'd have a label around the neck, and they'd put them into the post, and off they'd go to Dublin or Manchester or whatever.
And the post!
Exactly. I mean, now there'd be a riot if you brought a turkey or a goose like that, you know.
Let's talk about flavour. So particularly this is a free-range goose, so it's going to taste very, very good, because up to the avian flu regulations quite recently, this boy or girl was out grazing and foraging, so it's going to have a really, really nice flavour. Why is goose more flavoursome than turkey? Why was it favoured for Christmas?
Well, you know, this is a very interesting question, because geese actually can't, as far as I understand, be reared very intensively like turkeys or chickens can. They just simply won't thrive. So generally, they must be free range. So that's one of the reasons why I really love to have a goose. They're so packed with flavour. It's all brown meat. And actually, I'm a brown meat person in real life anyway. I would always prefer the brown meat. It has so much more flavour. So goose is all brown meat. So this is a big feast for me.
And the other thing is, there's a lot of lore kind of associated with geese in Ireland. We have a lot of words around geese, like going for a gander, poking around, looking for things. They're very characterful animals, but they're eaten less and less. Why is that?
Well, therein lies the problem, because years ago, many, many farms in the parish would rear geese. And of course, Myrtle used to buy them. They would rear them for Myrtle at Ballymaloe. And in many cases, they were rearing poultry and geese for 2-3 generations. But nowadays, a lot of the regulations and so on are actually making it almost impossible, or people just think, I can't be bothered. I mean, this year it's hard enough to get a goose. It's more difficult than last year. Next year it'll be more difficult again. I was talking to somebody this morning who was rearing geese, and he just said, that's it, this is the last year. Because he said, I get so much grief and hassle from the regulators. And honestly, what we lose is not only is our goose for Christmas and the variety, but also we lose the skills and the knowledge that has been built up over generations. And tell me, who's gaining here? Everybody's losing. So we have to find ways to facilitate and support people who are prepared to rear free-range poultry.
All right, well, that's looking good, isn't it? Yeah, nice bit of crispy skin there.
Well, now that our goose is cooked, we'll just transfer it onto a great big serving platter. It looks so wonderful. And we're going to strain all the fat from the roasting tin and see all those lovely juices there, goosey juice, and then those lovely caramelised bits. We'll use this to make the gravy. And we'll serve it with some roasties and some red cabbage.
Ooh.
And apple sauce, of course, Bramley apple sauce. Oh, look, it's lovely and juicy. Nice crispy skin as well. I'm just going to put a little bit of the potato stuffing onto each plate first. Do you like that much skin, or would you like a little less skin?
A little less. Oh, it is so brown, you're right.
It's lovely. Yeah, totally brown. A lovely plump roast goose. A nice bit of gravy on that.
Oh, it's so good.
A feast for Christmas.
But there's less and less geese producers around, isn't there? And that's a bit of a worry.
It's absolutely vital that we support our small artisan producer sector, because this is what people want when they come to Ireland. They want a taste of this place. They want a taste of something that's unique to Ireland. And it's such an important part of our food culture and food tradition.
Are you all salivating, positively drooling? Dorina Allen with Suzanne Campbell. In the countrywide cookery school this week, Paul Murnoch's goose is getting fat. Amandine Paso Devine put a penny in the old man's hat. And Eileen Heron hadn't a penny, only a halfpenny. And that'll have to do her from now on.